Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are really thrilled to invite a brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. And he is a clinical neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert. He's also the author of two amazing books, Your Brain is Always Listening, which he was so kind to send to me, and Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. And welcome to the podcast, Doc. How are you?
Thanks, Dr. K. Such a joy to meet you.
Well, I'm really thrilled to learn and see people on Instagram talking more and more about brain health. I'm in a profession with aesthetics and beauty where I feel like sometimes what we do is very superficial. But as a physician at heart, the brain, it is our most important organ and asset. What got you into triggering more conversations about brain health in America?
Well, you know, I love talking to a plastic surgeon because the health of your skin is actually a reflection of the health of your brain, that they tend to go together. So being beautiful on the inside often leads to being prettier on the outside. So I was an infantry medic at the end of Vietnam and fell in love with medicine. But a year into it, I realized I didn't like being shot at. It just wasn't my thing. Some people like it. I got retrained as an X-ray technician and developed a passion for medical imaging. So our professors used to say, how do you know unless you look? And then in 1975, I got out of the Army, finished college, went to medical school. When I was a second year medical student, someone I loved tried to kill herself. And I took her to see a wonderful psychiatrist. And I came to realize if he helped her, which he did, it wouldn't just help her, that ultimately it would help her children, even her grandchildren, as they would be shaped by someone who is happier and more stable. So I fell in love with psychiatry in 1979. But I fell in love with the only medical specialty that never looks at the organ it treats. Think about that. As you went through medical school, they'd make diagnoses based on symptom clusters with no biological data. I knew it was wrong. I knew it would change. I just knew, didn't have any idea I'd be part of the change. And so we've been looking at the brain for the last 40 years. We have the world's largest database of brain scans related to behavior, just about 200,000 scans on patients from 150 countries. And the scans have taught us so much. Like, the brain is an organ, just like your heart or your skin is an organ. And if you're not treating it right, you're not going to feel right. You're not going to act right. You're not going to behave right. And so the first hallmark of health for us is brain health.
Now, these are the SPECT scans that you're talking about, or MRI, brain scans, CAT scans?
No, we do a study called SPECT that looks at blood flow and activity. It's a nuclear medicine study that actually allows us to look at living brain tissue.
What does SPECT stand for, if I could interrupt real quick? What does SPECT stand for, and how's that different from like a PET scan?
So PET is positron emission tomography. SPECT is single photon emission computed tomography. They're both nuclear medicine studies. They're cousins to each other. And SPECT is cheaper. It's easier to do. It's more widely available. And you see beautiful brains and you see ugly brains.
Yes.
Often because of what people've done to them. Think of hitting soccer balls with their head, or I did the big NFL study when the NFL wasn't telling the truth about traumatic brain injury in football, and not healthy, pretty brains. But people who've taken care of their brains, I mean, it just has this beautiful appearance that you want. So I coined the term many years ago called brain envy. Freud was wrong. Penis envy is not the cause of anybody's problem. I haven't seen it in 40 years. The thing you really want to care about is your brain, because it controls everything you do.
We put so little emphasis into that. Like, we don't teach our children about brain health. We don't teach our, you know, adults about that. We're all about calories and gluten-free keto diets. And, you know, we don't talk about the effects of alcohol, marijuana, or the drugs that we take legally. How should we change our focus and our practices and with our patients? What should we be teaching people?
Well, ultimately, brain health is three things. Brain envy, got to care about it. So we need to talk to our patients about it. Avoid things that hurt your brain. Know the list. So you mentioned a bunch of them. Alcohol is not a health food. It not only dehydrates you, it shrinks your brain over time. And it now increases the risk of 7 different kinds of cancer. 4%, brand new study just out last week, 4% of the worldwide cancer load is associated with alcohol intake.
Wow.
It's not a health food. And so many problems happen when you drink alcohol. You overeat, you say things you shouldn't say, and it ultimately damages your brain. And I'm very concerned about marijuana. I'm going to get all sorts of haters now, but I published a study on 1,000 marijuana smokers. Mm-hmm. Every area of their brain was low in activity. And people are using it just like having a beer, but it stays in your system for 30 days.
Really?
So if you get high tonight, you're actually going to feel those effects. We can measure it in your urine for a month. And I'm just not a fan. Eating bad food, which is rampant, you know, I was driving down the 405 freeway. And on the right side, there was a billboard for a sandwich that was 800 calories and so bad for you. And on the other side of the freeway was a billboard for lose weight with lap band. Does anybody else see the insanity of the 405 freeway, you know, promoting obesity and then fixing it with surgery?
Right.
I'm like, this is a little bit crazy. So brain envy, avoid things that hurt it, and then do things that help it. Mm-hmm. New learning, physical activity, omega-3 fatty acids, optimize your vitamin D level. Eat foods that you love, that love you back. So many people are in just a bad relationship with food. You only want to love foods that serve your skin rather than hurt your skin and your brain.
Like, what kind of foods would you recommend? And do you have a list of top 5 favorites or best foods for brain health? Like, everyone wants an easy fix, but there isn't one, but it's consistency.
The easy thing is to go, is this good for my brain or bad for it?
Yeah.
And if you're smart, if you have a big brain, you begin to really learn the list. And so I love organic blueberries. In fact, I have a cup of frozen organic blueberries every day. Sort of dessert for me, it's like candy.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of sardines and mackerel because they're loaded with omega-3 fatty acids. Good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your nails, and your brain. I'm also a fan of as many colorful vegetables as you can eat.
Right.
Because they have phytonutrients, which basically just means plant medicines that are good for you. And I'm a fan of dark chocolate. Now you have to be careful with how it's prepared. Most of it's terrible. But I'll give people a simple recipe that I love. I get organic cacao and unsweetened almond milk. So I put a heaping teaspoon of organic cacao into unsweetened almond milk, put a little bit of stevia in it, heat it up. It's hot chocolate that's healthy for you because chocolate or cacao is the superfood. Mm-hmm. It boosts blood flow to the brain. It helps you focus, improves your mood, alerts your brainstem that something fun is about to happen. I'm just like a huge fan of chocolate, just done in a good way, a smart way.
Now, do you think that alcohol in any amount is going to be bad? Is like a glass of wine here and there okay? Because in reality, truly, like any alcohol is bad. But I think that it's difficult to tell people to never celebrate, never drink. But that post you did where you showed the brain health of a drinker, like the shriveled brain of a drinker versus a non-drinker, was very motivating to never drink again.
Yeah, brand new study out in, I think it was Lancet Psychiatry, that any alcohol showed trouble in the brain. So it's just how much trouble do you want and how much do you love yourself? Because, and we have, Dr. K, this thing in our society where we celebrate with things that hurt us. And it's like, why is that a celebration? Mm-hmm. And Drew Carey, the famous comedian that lost a lot of weight and kept it off, he said, and I knew when he said this, that he would stay healthy. Because, you know, so many people yo-yo. And he said, eating crappy food isn't a reward. Yeah. It's a punishment. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that, it's you stop doing cheat days. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you were an alcoholic, you wouldn't do cheat days. If you were a sex addict, you wouldn't do cheat days. And, you know, bad food and alcohol, they're addictive and they cause a lot of problems. And we have a high school course called Brain Thrive by 25. It's in all 50 states. And when we teach kids what to do and what not to do, invariably it's a 14-year-old boy who raises his hand and says, well, how can you have any fun? Yeah. And so we play a game with the kids called Who Has More Fun? The kid with the good brain or the kid with the bad brain?
Right.
Who gets into the school they want, who gets the girl and gets to keep her because he's not an ass. It's the kid mm-hmm. with the good brain. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I always want to be in control of how I feel and what I do. And I don't want to consume things that hurt me.
It's very true. And then you've also written about how obesity is shown to be a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease and the fact that having a heavier body weight or higher BMI correlates with less blood flow to your brain, less perfusion, and then less activity going on your SPECT scans in your brain. So there's something about being overweight and obesity that affects brain function.
Well, actually, it's six things. So I often say if you want to keep your brain healthy, or rescue it if it's headed for trouble, you have to prevent or treat the 11 major risk factors that steal your mind. And we know what they are. I have a mnemonic called Bright Minds where I go through them. But just being overweight, so that's one of them. It's something called diabesity. Being overweight or having high blood sugar, they often go together, lowers blood flow to the brain. I published a study on 35,000 scans. Every area of the brain was lower in overweight people, worse in obese people, worse yet in morbidly obese people. So it prematurely ages the brain. Fat cells produce something called inflammatory adipokines, which are cytokines that increase inflammation. Fat stores toxins. And belly fat takes healthy testosterone that we all need to feel happy and sexual and motivated and strong and turns it into unhealthy cancer-promoting forms of estrone or E1 estrogen. That's not a good thing. So when I'm in the mall and I see all these guys with the big belly, I'm like, dude, you need to deliver the baby because that is not good for you in so many ways. But yeah, you know, 72% of Americans are overweight. 42% of us are obese. It's the biggest brain drain in the history of our country. And marketers are making billions of dollars addicting you to unhealthy, low-quality food.
Mm-hmm. Is there some benefit to intermittent fasting in terms of brain function? Have you done any studies that show that? I know women's brains run better on ketones, especially perimenopausally. And what do you think about intermittent fasting and brain health?
So I'm a big fan of it because it's actually been found to clean up beta amyloid plaques, one of the mechanisms thought to be behind Alzheimer's disease, which is why sleep is also so important, because when you sleep, your brain cleans and washes itself. I'm a fan of intermittent fasting for so many reasons. One, you stop nighttime eating. Mm-hmm. And people who eat at night have a harder time losing weight. It gives your brain space to sort of clean it up during the day. And over time, it decreases your appetite. So you're able to maintain a healthy weight longer.
Definitely. Are you an intermittent faster yourself? What are some of your great habits? Are you early riser? Do you go to bed late? Do you stay up?
I go to bed about 10 and I get up about 6. I really try to get about 8 hours of sleep at night. It's just, for me, it's the sweet spot. I make a brain healthy shake about 10 o'clock. So if I finish eating at 6 or 7, I don't eat again until 10 or 11. And I make a brain healthy shake in the morning. And I'm conscious of my calories. A lot of people go, calories don't count. And I just think they're insane. And I'm a psychiatrist, so I know insanity. The quality of your calories matters, but the quantity matters as well. And I have obesity in my family. I have a brother who never listens to me. He's 150 pounds overweight. And I know that could be me if I didn't have enough anxiety to stop it. Mm-hmm. And so I have a sense. So I am a value spender. I have plenty of money, but I hate wasting it. It just irritates me. Like, I come home and go, why are the lights on?
Same here.
but the same is true with calories. It's like, well, how much is in that? Will it serve me? Now, yeah. I want to love food. I love food. Being Lebanese, my mom's an amazing, Middle Eastern cook. But I want to have a sense how many calories are in what I'm eating so that I can get in the same jeans I got into when I was in high school. It just sort of makes me happy.
Yeah, you have to budget what you eat. You have to decide if you can afford it or not. Right. Do you like green tea or black coffee?
I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of the taste of coffee, but I actually make my wife a decaf cappuccino every day. So decaf coffee, unsweetened almond milk. It frosts like crazy when you put it in the blender. And, and then I have this little concoction of cinnamon with a little bit of erythritol sprinkle on top of it. It tastes amazing. I also love green tea. Green tea has so many health benefits, and green tea extracts actually been found to be helpful for your skin.
Amazing. And what do you think of artificial sweeteners, like people like myself who are addicted to Diet Coke a little bit? Is there any hope? Am I going to have to worry about Alzheimer's?
Yes. So get rid of it and change. There's something called Zevia. They make sweetened sodas. What I do, because I used to be addicted to Diet Coke as well. But I had arthritis when I was like 35. I'd had trouble getting off the floor. And one of my patients, and I think that's what I've been really good at through the years, is listening to them. She said when she got rid of aspartame, her arthritis went away. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, when I got rid of aspartame, my arthritis went away. And then I decided to check it a couple of months later and had a big Diet Coke. My hands, the joints of my hands just hurt terribly. And I'm like, okay, I can learn this. I'm not a fan of aspartame or Splenda. Splenda has actually been shown to decrease gut bacteria. And all of us know now there's a microbiome in your gut and your skin. You want to take care of your bugs, not ruin them. So what I do, because I have a sweet tooth, my grandfather was a candy maker, is I'll get sparkling water, and a company called Sweetleaf, I have no financial interest in them. They make like 10 different flavors of stevia. And I love their chocolate stevia. And so I'll just put a dropper full in sparkling water, and I have a soda, and it has no calories and no aspartame. And stevia has actually been found to have health benefits. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of figure out, I love this. Does it love me back? And if it has the potential, I don't know if you've ever been in a bad relationship. Well, I've been in bad relationships and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just not. And I'm damn sure not doing it with food.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a great tip. Sweet Leaf. Now in your book, The Brain is Always Listening, you have a section where you talk about inferior or flawed dragons, where your dragons are your demons and things that torment you. And how do you think that pertains to like insecurities? Like we have our insecurities about our appearance and looking in the mirror and, you know, social media is really exacerbating low self-esteem. Do you think that this flawed dragon of comparison, how we're comparing our faces and it's affecting our self-esteem, is that damaging our brain and how our brain is listening to our voice?
It's driving the epidemic of teenage suicide. I am just horrified by it. We've never seen this in recorded history, young girls trying to take their lives because they feel like they can't live up to the filtered models on Instagram. And I'm just horrified by it. We have to be so protective and so thoughtful and careful with them. And, you know, most everybody thinks they're not enough. I think it's important to normalize it. And this was years ago, Glamour magazine did a study of women and 93% of them didn't think they were enough. So if you don't think you're enough, welcome to normal. And, but you know, we are visual as a species. 50% of the brain, 50% of your brain is dedicated to vision. Right? There are visual pathways everywhere. So taking care of yourself is so important. We just finished a 30-day happiness challenge online, had 32,000 people sign up. And one of the things that improved after 30 days was people said, I look more attractive.
Really?
Because when you're happier inside, it glows, it shows on the outside. I just love that.
It's so interesting because the converse is also true. When we make people look better, you know, when we're correcting certain things that physically bother them, like gravity causing drooping or lines causing a tired feeling, they feel better about themselves. So external change manifests as internal happiness as well. So it's kind of both ways. It's interesting that...
Right. So we have to partner to get them beautiful on the inside and the outside.
Yes.
Because the facelift will last longer if they're doing the right things for their health.
Not only that, but when you look in the mirror and what you see doesn't reflect how you feel, like you're looking at a face that looks like it's not who you are. Your identity's changing. You feel tired and old in the mirror, but you feel 20 on the inside. Like that's so important to correct that because the brain is so visual and it doesn't believe what's not true. Like you can look in the mirror and look tired and your brain's not going to say, well, I'm still 20. It's going to start to feel bedraggled and exhausted and old. OLD.
Another one of the dragons is the death dragon.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people, they're afraid of death and they haven't made peace with death. And I think as a psychiatrist, a lot of what I deal with is the anxiety around death. And when I was in college, I took a death and dying class and had to write my own funeral. And I actually live every day with sort of the end in mind. Yeah. Is this going to make me proud? Is this going to elevate my life? Or is this going to hurt my life? And there's a fun exercise in the book on write down 10 good things about dying.
Wow. Wow.
You confront it like I don't have to deal with LA traffic anymore. I'll never have to have a root canal. Yeah. You know, I won't have to do with internet trolls.
I'm not going to have to clean out the closets. That's right. Just walk away from the mess on my desk. That is so interesting. Humans are the only animals that are aware of their ultimate demise. And like with the time bomb ticking that we know is coming, it does make life more precious, but it's very interesting. I think it's really neat how your studies have shown that internal and external brain health are correlated. Can you ever look at a person and know that they're going to have an unhealthy brain on SPECT scan?
Oh, you bet.
Really?
If their skin is deeply wrinkled, odds are the brain will be as well. If it's clear they're not taking care of themselves, they're obese, or there's this one study I like. If you're 80 and you walk 3 miles an hour, you have a 90% chance of living until you're 90. But if you're 80 and you only can walk a mile an hour, you have a 90% chance you're not going to live till 90. And odds are one will have a healthier brain than the other. So I get a sense of how a person's brain is going to be by looking at them, talking to them. And I'm not always right. That's why you have to look.
Yeah, I guess you can tell if they look a little weathered on the outside, that they've had a lot of oxidative stress from drinking or sun or, you know, hard living. So that probably translates to the inside.
Definitely. Well, you know, the sun is an interesting part because the dermatologist won. They made us afraid of the sun. And now, was it just last week, Johnson & Johnson had to pull some of its sunscreens because it was causing cancer. And it's like, oh no, the thing to prevent cancer is causing cancer is, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen it. We have a serious epidemic of vitamin D deficiency because we're afraid of the sun. And I'm super worried about all the toxins parents are putting on their children's bodies. And with the pandemic where people just didn't care, it's just give me disinfectant. A lot of that stuff is loaded with phthalates and parabens and fragrance and benzene and basically toxic things to our own microbiomes and our own ecosystem. So we have to be very careful about the products we put on our body.
Definitely. I think human beings' bodies crave some light, and it's probably just not best to go out to midday high noon sun, but the, you know, the beginning of the day, the sunset, the sunrise, that's very healthy infrared spectrums for the pineal gland and resetting the whole, you know, melatonin producing systems of the body. But are there any really great supplements that you're taking, like ginkgo that improves brain circulation, or baby aspirin to improve blood flow to the brain? Is there anything you recommend we do as we get into improving brain health with supplements?
So I own, you know, in full disclosure, I own a supplement company, BrainMD. And the reason I own a supplement company is when I first started imaging, I saw some of the medications I used, like benzos and opiates, they were really bad for brain function. So I was looking for, well, what are natural ways to heal the brain? And so I'm a big fan. I think everybody should take a really good multiple vitamin, high dose, high quality fish oil. Know your vitamin D level and optimize it. I'm never a fan of normal. I'm always a fan of what's optimal. 50% of people 85 and older will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's normal. And I want no part of that. For the brain, I'm a huge fan. I love ginkgo. Ginkgo increases blood flow to the brain. N-acetylcysteine helps boost glutathione, which is an antioxidant that's been shown to help cravings, but also your mood. I like acetyl-L-carnitine for mitochondrial energy. Huperzine A boosts acetylcholine availability in the brain. For people who tend to struggle with anxiety, I like GABA and theanine and ashwagandha. They can be really helpful, but my favorite supplement. Where are you from? Where's your family from?
I am Indian, but grew up in LA, but Indian. So turmeric. So turmeric is excellent.
I'm Lebanese, but very common in India is saffron.
Yes.
And saffron's my favorite spice, my favorite supplement for the brain. Why? Wow. 22 randomized controlled trials showing that it's as effective as antidepressants for mood.
Hmm.
And as opposed to antidepressants, which can decrease your sexuality, saffron has been found to promote healthy sexuality, including intensity of orgasm. I'm like, I like this. It's also been shown in multiple studies to help memory. Wow. And PMS. So I'm like, I'm going to be happier, more virile, and I'm going to remember what happened during the day. So I'm like, I take it every day.
Okay, this explains why my mom would make almond milk with turmeric, saffron, and everything for me to have every night. And like, she's like, this is going to make you smarter and better, and it's good for your skin and your brain. And like, you don't believe your mom.
She loved you.
Yes.
I mean, that's like, that is love.
Yes.
And because curcumin, in our happy saffron that we make, we have saffron, curcumin, and zinc. Because all of them independently have studies showing they improve mood.
I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to try that. And your skin is wonderful and you look very youthful. Are you doing anything for your appearance?
The only thing I do is try to eat things I love that love me back and take my supplement regimen every day. I also take smart mushrooms, not happy mushrooms, smart mushrooms. Lion's mane has been found to help cognitive function. And, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I wrote down mental hygiene is just as important as washing your hands. We need to disinfect our thoughts, not let the, I call them ants, the automatic negative thoughts steal our happiness. And your best defense against COVID is your immune system. So what can you do? It's your brain, right? Decision making. And I have about a couple of hundred COVID scans. COVID is not a good thing for the brain. It sort of flames your emotional brain, putting you at greater risk for anxiety and depression. And long COVID damages the brain. So really being thoughtful and protective. And I often say some anxiety is good because it helps you not do stupid things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're still in a pandemic. We still need to be thoughtful and careful. I know sort of like the rubber band effect where it's like we've been isolated so long, everybody wants to jump and get together. Mm-hmm. But I think we still need to be thoughtful and careful.
Well, you are so thoughtful and interesting. I love how you've really analyzed our society and tied in health to brains and physiology. And it's so important to keep thinking beyond what the old-fashioned textbooks have taught us and to really integrate function with what we see and what we do every day. What are your goals for yourself, like the next 5 years? What are you going to do with your platform that you've created and this goal of brain health?
You know, I think we're on the cusp of a new revolution. My big goal is to get rid of the word mental illness. I hate it. It shames people, stigmatizing, and it's wrong. These are brain health issues. I mean, as an imager, it's so clear. They're brain health issues that steal your mind. And in my profession as a psychiatrist, most psychiatrists never look at the brain. And I've been looking at it for 30 years. So that means I have a lot of haters. And just a couple of months ago, the Canadian Association of Nuclear Medicine came out and wrote a position paper on SPECT as if I wrote it. In fact, of the 10 authors, 5 of them had been my students. And that's going to explode. It's just going to wide open. People are going to start demanding, I need to look at my brain. And so I've been having so much fun on Instagram. We're doing an influencer series where we're scanning high profile people and telling their story.
I love that. Instagram. That is so important.
Yeah, we did Logan Paul. It was really fun. And Jeff Wittick's a young YouTuber. Jenny Garth, the actress from 90210. And
that's amazing.
I just want to make brain health cool. That's my goal. I want people to want it, to talk about it. And, you know, we need to have a different approach to happy hour.
We definitely do. All right, I want you to scan a facial plastic surgeon's brain. I think that would be really interesting to see what 10 years of residency sleeplessness does, all the stress of being a surgeon. I mean, what we do to doctors, you know, what we do to our own. Like, we don't even believe in brain health for residents and training and for physicians and the lives that we lead where we don't take care of ourselves.
Well, we don't live the message of health. I mean, I do. That's one of my core values, is being authentic. I need to live the message, or I sort of suck as a messenger.
Yes.
And healthcare, so medical training absolutely doesn't live the message.
Really?
And it's insane. I mean, at least now residents can't work more than 80 hours a week. But are you crazy? I mean, you really think people are going to learn to be compassionate, healthy human beings working 80 hours a week? It's insane. We need to do a better job. And it's fun being in the middle of trying to make things better.
It's amazing. Well, I think you've definitely found your voice, and I'm so excited to learn more about the brain with you. For those of us followers who are listening, where should people find you on your various platforms?
They can go to amenclinics.com, amen like the last word in a prayer, clinics.com. They can find our supplements at brainmd.com and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Daniel Amen, or Instagram at doc_amen.
Well, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you. I hope everybody will go check out Doc Amen and read his books. I honestly found these so fascinating. And I invite you to come visit me over in LA. I'll cross the 405 and come visit you too. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram, doing amazing things with people's faces. And I really care about your beauty inside and out. So I want to teach you guys to think about brain health, think about longevity and what we need to do to live our best lives. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.